So I've chosen to select a very interesting passage here today as we talk about what constitutes service to God. And you'll notice that our passage began with a word called bond servants. It's really the word that's used for slave. And so Paul's addressing slaves here, those who were slaves to their masters. And slavery was still in operation in that part of the world in those days and in some parts of our world even today. But you know, it's the same word that Paul uses when he talks about himself. He says, Paul, a bond servant of Christ. Same word, I'm a slave of Christ. And it's the same word that's used to describe Christians in general, right? That we're bondservants of God. And so we are slaves in that sense, but it's, you know, we have a very wonderful master. But, you know, he's purchased us with great price, the scripture says, right? He's bought us with his own precious blood, with his own sacrifice, and so we belong to him. And so we are his bondservants, we are his slaves. And so Paul addresses this little passage to those who are in servitude to others. And, you know, sometimes for those of us, you know, who work or in the working world, sometimes we look at our bosses that way. And we might think that we're in slavery too sometimes, right? But we all have some service to do. So he says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. And right off the bat, what we're talking about here, as we've already read the passage together, right, is doing the will of God as a slave. And right off the bat, I want to set this up this afternoon by saying, you know, if God can use even slaves, that's why we're selecting this passage today to show how these folks were doing the will of God, then he can certainly use you, and he can certainly use me in our circumstances to serve him. As we think about what constitutes service to God, we're thinking about slaves this afternoon. You know, he's not focusing on people right here who are considered to be something in this world, the big, the mighty, the important, the special, the rich, the wealthy, the gifted, but rather the lowest of the low he's addressing this to, bond servants and slaves. And that's important for us to consider this morning. Again, sometimes we look to others and we look at others and we say, well, you know, that person can be used because they're rich and powerful and famous and gifted and talented and so on and so forth, but me over here, not so much, right? But Paul's addressing this to the lowest of the low in society. And so therefore, he can use you and me, and we're all servants of the Lord in that respect. But notice what he says here in our passage. He says, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. So how can it be that slavery is going to be service to Christ? But this is exactly what he's saying here, right? Be obedient to those who are your masters with sincerity, right? As to Christ. Even this mundane thing we might look at and say, well, how is that possibly service to God? I mean, come on, right? But that's exactly what he's saying here. He says, I want you to obey those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Not only were they doing this to do their service to this master, whether he was cruel or not, we don't know. And oftentimes they were not, but nonetheless, you had no choice, right? I want you to serve that guy with sincerity of heart as to Christ. In other words, we need to have the right attitude about what the Lord has called us to do as well, even when it may be something very difficult, something very mundane, something that doesn't seem all that important compared to what other people are doing. It's as to Christ. It's not to men. And he's reminding of this. It's an amazing thing. He goes on in verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Not as men pleasers, not with eye service. In other words, don't just fake it. Don't just pretend, you know, to be doing a good job for these guys, but I want you to do it from the heart. And understand that you're doing the will of God here, and you're serving Christ in what you're doing. And that's a very important thing for us to think about this morning as we think about our own lives and what the Lord has called us to do. That even these slaves are going to somehow be doing the will of God by doing this. You know, but there's a huge temptation for us to be men's pleasers and to do things with eye service, to not have the right attitude. And, you know, for many years I spent in business, you know, way more than 20 years in manufacturing, 21 years automotive manufacturing, and then last five years was in Quaker Oats, PepsiCo. And, you know, there's a huge temptation in the business world, especially as you're climbing the corporate ladder, as they say, to be a men's pleaser, to compromise, if you will, to get ahead in this life. And I was certainly like that, even as a Christian. Sad to say, I was more interested in advancing my career than I was about being a witness for Christ. And I achieved those things in life. I achieved success from a world's point of view. I achieved high levels in the organization, earning lots of money, you know, all that stuff. But there was a temptation for me to compromise, and I took that temptation. And these guys have a chance to compromise, and we all do in our service to Christ for the wrong reasons, you see. And you might be saying, well, why are you talking about, you know, your life in the business world? Because I believe it's very much related. I mean, the reality is, right, we're talking about full-time service to the Lord here in context of these slaves, and not just some of those more visible ministries that we think about, the missionaries, the pastors, the elders, the Sunday school teachers, the camp workers. And I also want to propose to you today and submit to you today that we are all, as the Lord's people, in full-time service to God. And the only difference is what he's called us to do. And that's going to look different for every one of us here today. Some people he's going to call to the mission field, and some people he's going to call to lead churches, and some people he's going to call to preach and to teach Sunday school and all of those great things, and those require, you know, some full-time focus and effort, and that's wonderful. And others he will call to work at Quaker Oats, and he will call to be police, and he will call to be school teachers, and on we go, because you see, the Lord has his people everywhere, even as he had these slaves. They were serving Christ as a slave. And Paul's saying, you're a slave, I want you to serve the Lord in that. You need to have the right heart's attitude towards it. You need to understand it's for the Lord, it's not to men. And you're doing the will of God in that place. And that's important for us to get a hold of this morning. You know, that job that I had for many years working in business was not provided to me because, you know, somehow, well, I just, you know, it's fun, it's cool to have, you know, whatever. But rather, the Lord had called me to certain places and positions because he wants his people here and there and everywhere as witnesses for him, you know, to be scattered into this world. You know, if we were all preachers in the front of the church, there wouldn't be anybody out there, you know, reaching people in the workplaces and the various places of our society, right? And that's an important principle for us this morning. It's to Christ that we can do the will of God in any situation. But, you know, we go on from here. And I would submit to you this, too. You know, if you look at life that way, it's going to have a tremendous impact. If you look at your calling in life, right, whatever that is, I mean, here's the important thing. Here's the bottom line. Whether I'm choosing to go to university, whether I'm choosing to be a doctor, a lawyer, a dentist, whatever, the number one question is this the will of God for me? Am I submitting all of the plans and desires that I have in this life and saying, Lord, I'm intending to do this, but your will be done, and I want you to lead me and guide me and direct me. The Lord knows your heart, right? And he's promised us that when we're in the right space, he will, in fact, do that. He will lead us through the steps of life. We're going to think about that in a little bit here from Paul. And so wherever you are at in life, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, your number one calling is to serve the Lord in that role. It took me many years to figure that out. But the last couple of years when I was still in business, you know, the Lord had dealt with me in such a way that he finally got me to my knees to realize what my purpose was for being there, and it was to minister to people, not to direct a company. Yes, I have a job to do, but my first role is as a witness for Christ, regardless of the cost, regardless of the consequences, regardless of the outcome. And as I began to change that focus in my life, and my career changed dramatically, in fact, the last couple of years I was at Quaker, I wound up having a lot of Bible discussions in my office. People would come in and they would start to share their concerns with me. And I remember one lady who was struggling at work. In fact, we put her on what we call a performance improvement plan. What that means is you have 90 days to clean up your act or you're fired, okay? So I was her executive coach, and she would come to see me every few days, and we would go through, you know, her improvement plan and help her step through that. But, you know, she came into my office one day, and she was crying and sharing with me stuff. And I said to her, I said, Tracy, I said, you know that I'm a Christian. And, you know, this is dangerous stuff in the workplace today. She says, yeah. I said, I have the answers for your life. Because she was, you know, opening up to me and sharing about all the issues in her life. And I said, but I need you to ask me, do you want to hear that? But I said, it's from the Bible. And so, you know, in that moment, the Lord was giving me an opportunity, you know, for something far greater than just a job, but to speak truth into this person's life, to share with her the gospel. And we began to talk, and, You know, she would start to come in every week and ask me, you know, Bible questions, and I would give her reading assignments, and she would go home and read the scriptures and come back with more questions. And that's our calling, no matter what role we're in, and we need to look at life that way. If you're a nurse, you know, you're there to help people get better, but you're there first and foremost as a witness for Christ, and you take every opportunity the Lord puts in front of you to serve him in that. That's what we're talking about here today with slaves. Right? And that's the focus that we ought to have in life, is our service to God in whatever situation he calls us to. It's not just for those visible ministries that we look to, as important as they are. Yes, the Lord calls some to preach and some to do other things, and those things are important. We thank the Lord for all the gifts in the church and all those ministries that go on. But we're all important to the Lord, and he all has us in places for specific reason at a specific time to interact with people. I remember a testimony I heard on the radio. I'll share this story because it's so cool. This guy was in business in the States, and as he was awakening to the Lord's call upon his life, he just felt this burden, and one morning he says, just go in and speak to your boss about the things of the Lord. He says, Lord, this is not going to go well, but I'm going to do it. So he goes in there. He sits down with his boss. He says, I just feel a burden to share some things personally with you, and he started to share those things, and his boss was very polite about it and says, well, that's interesting, but see ya. And as he left that room, he, wondered, Lord, what was that all about? Like, I just really felt a burden to share today and witness to my boss, and nothing happened of it. And he went his way, and it was a few years later, he was in a church. I can't remember the exact place in the United States. And I think Chuck Swindoll was sharing the story. He was in a church one day, and they were having personal testimonies. And this guy gets up to share, and he says, I used to be in air conditioning and refrigeration, and I was in this office building one day. And I was really low, wondering what life was all about and thinking about committing suicide and things like that. And I was working in behind the walls of this office, and I heard the gospel. You see, that man who went to share with his boss that day, it was not for the boss, it was for the guy behind the wall. He heard it. He was saved. And the Lord allowed him to see the fruit of that effort that he had made. And that's the focus we ought to have in life, folks. No matter what we're doing, we're serving the Lord in it. And that's the focus we need to have. And that's what Paul's saying to these guys who are just slaves. Just slaves. Now, we already talked this morning about the fact that it's the Lord, that we're his representative, so I'm not going to go there. The Lord said he was going to deliver, he was going to use Moses to do that, because we're serving Christ, as it says here. Verse 7, goodwill, Ephesians 6 and verse 7, goodwill, doing service, as to the Lord, not to men. Our first business is serving the Lord, not to men. But sometimes we lack confidence, don't we? And we wonder about things like that. That guy struggled going in to talk to his boss. And Moses lacked confidence. In fact, we have a lot of interesting scriptures around this story. We talked about this morning. Moses had an unmistakable call. A bush that's on fire, that's not burning. That's pretty cool. Clear direction from the Lord. And what's Moses' response? I can't do it. Now, we might say, if we heard the voice of the Lord in a burning bush, we might have reason to have confidence. But Moses doubted, and at least four times he pushes back to the Lord. He doubts, and he pushes back, and we read in Exodus about this. In fact, Moses said in Exodus 3 and 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children out of Egypt? And the Lord says, I will certainly be with you, and I'm going to give you signs. But we lack confidence, right, sometimes. How can slavery be the will of God? A few years ago, I was at the FBH International Conference in Mississauga. And I think Ron Hughes has been down through these parts before. Probably know him. And he has a conference up in Mississauga. And a brother was sharing about 3 years ago who runs a mission program back into Afghanistan. And Afghanistan is a tough country. In Afghanistan, it's legal to kill people who are Christians. That's how bad it is there. In fact, even one of their own government ministers got up in parliament there a few years ago and said, just go right ahead. If anybody professes the name of Christ, all citizens are free to execute them. And so this brother, he lives in Toronto now, but he was born in Afghanistan and got saved. Another amazing story. He's running, you know, he takes stuff back into Afghanistan on little microchips. You know, people can put them in their smartphones or whatever. It's an amazing ministry. Anyway, 3 years ago when he was going in, he was going with a brother from Holland. He got caught. And they were freaking out. And he got thrown in prison. And the brother from Holland was a few cells down. And he was in prison with a bunch of Taliban guys. So he figured, you know what, I was born in Afghanistan, even though he was an American citizen living in Toronto now. He figured, my life is over, I'm done for, right? Because he knows what the death penalty in Afghanistan for, especially for, you know, handing out Bibles. But as he was in that prison, he was in that prison for 4 days. And as he would testify, you know, the Lord was dealing with his heart and rooting out things that needed to be rooted out. He realized that the Lord had him in that prison for 4 days for a reason, and that was for testimony and service to these young Taliban members. And he was able to share with those guys the message of God's love, and he was able to demonstrate it to them as he served them for 4 days in that prison cell, because in Afghanistan, they don't have washrooms. So you just go in the corner of the cell, and there's six guys crammed in there. And so he would clean up for these guys every day as service to them, even though he was the oldest man in that cell. And for them in that culture, right, if you're the oldest male, then you don't do anything. The younger guys do it. But he served them. He waited on them, even as Christ washed the disciples' feet. And over those 4 days, he got to minister to these men and to share the love of Christ. They never would have heard it otherwise. And at the end of 4 days, the U.S. ambassador showed up, and he walked out of prison. So even in that situation, you see, the Lord was using him in that imprisonment to be a witness for him to these young men who would have never heard the gospel otherwise. And so the Lord can call us to different situations. Sometimes we lack confidence. Moses certainly did. He struggled with it big time. And I have struggled with it big time. And while we're sharing about work experiences, I'll share one more with you. Because it's a tendency for those of us who are in the workforce to complain a little. I certainly did. Oh, the boss, you know. And there's always reasons to complain about the boss. And I had a bad attitude about that at one point in my life, probably more than one point. And I remember at my last job, okay, my boss, I could not get along with her. It was like this. It was so bad that I invited her out for lunch one day, and I tried to have a discussion with her to try and clear the air and make sure we could work together. It didn't go so well. And I was just, you know, fit with this woman, and I was just spitting mad and, you know, had nothing good to say about her and was getting into that office talk, you know. And then the Lord brought conviction to my heart one day and says, Mark, what are you doing? Right? What are you doing? This woman that you're struggling with is someone for whom I have died and that I love. And you are supposed to be the Christian in this situation. And I've got you here for this time to show her my love. And as the Lord began to change my heart about that, I began to pray for Diane, and it wasn't easy at first because I didn't like her. So it's, Lord, I pray for Diane. Amen. Let's move on to somebody I like. But as time went by, the Lord changed my heart towards her, and I was able to share. And, you know, that's what it is about, dear ones. It's about serving the Lord in whatever situation the Lord has called us to. We may lack confidence. The Lord knows that. Moses pushes back. I have pushed back. Perhaps you have as well. But let's go on in our story to see what he says. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 says this. Moses answered and said, but suppose they won't believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. In verse 10 of chapter 4, Moses says, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech, slow of tongue. That's interesting. Remember what we read this morning in Acts chapter 7? It says Moses was mighty in words. When he was in power in Egypt, he was mighty in words. Now, 40 years later, he's saying, Lord, I can't speak. I'm slow of speech. Interesting. Interesting progression in the life of Moses. And then he finally says here in verse 13 of chapter 4, he says, but, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Four times Moses is pushing back, and he finally says, Lord, just please send somebody else. I can't do this. And it says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. The Lord got upset with him. He's appearing to Moses in an unmistakable way. He's giving Moses a call upon his life. And Moses is pushing back. He even gives them signs, right? He says, throw the rod down, it becomes a snake. He takes it back, it becomes a rod. He puts his hand in here, it comes out leprous. He puts it in, it comes out clean. Even with all that, Moses is still doubting. And so, you know, we have our doubts and our fears. That's okay. The Lord knows. But you know what? Moses pushes it to the point where the Lord is angry with him. And the Lord says, okay, Aaron is coming. And he will be, you know, he'll speak with you and I'll be with both of you. But let's look at what the Lord says here, because this is important. let me just go back here. Pardon me. It's I don't have that one up here quickly, but I think it's important to take a pause here for a moment at what the Lord says to Moses. Give me a sec. Okay, now, Exodus chapter 4. And verse 11, the Lord says to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say. The Lord is the one who makes all of us, beloved. And I said this morning that, you know what, in whatever your weaknesses are, God is glorified in weakness when we recognize that before him. His strength is made perfect in weakness, not in strength. The Lord has made you and me with all of our faults and all of our issues going on that we are beyond our control for a specific reason and purpose, and they're of no consequence to the Lord. We can't say, well, Lord, I'm not a good speaker, therefore I can't do that. That's just not true. Because the Lord says, Moses, I made the mouth, and I made yours, and I'm calling you to do this, and I'm going to be with your mouth. And when we have those doubts and fears, we can rest in the Lord that he will provide the abilities and the strengths that we need at the time that we need them, and he will do that work. So let's be confident of that and encouraged in that fact. So Moses pushes back, and what's the result? Well, unfortunately, he forfeits perhaps a little bit of what the Lord would have had him to do, right? The Lord said, Moses, you go. Moses pushes back so much, the Lord says, fine, I'm going to give you Aaron, and he's going to have to help you through this. And so, you know, the reality is this, friends, if we turn down what the Lord offers us, he'll find somebody else to do it. And we don't want to miss out on those opportunities. We only have so much time to serve the Lord in this life. And the Lord's work is done. And he wants us to be a part of that. But if we push back and we refuse, then somebody else is going to get that blessing. And we don't want to miss out on what the Lord has by just continually pushing back on him when we know that he's calling us to do for it. We need to trust that he will enable us and give us the grace to get through that thing, no matter how difficult or how impossible it seems at the time. So Moses here perhaps forfeits a little bit what the Lord had for him, and Aaron is called into it. So there's some thoughts from Moses. Where are we here? Let's go back here quickly. Excuse me. Ephesians. Right. Okay. Let's think about a few thoughts from the life of Paul. What time is it? 2:00. I got some time, I think. Okay, let's think about a few thoughts from the life of Paul for a moment. Paul recognized, right, and he says that in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Paul knew that he was what he was by the will of God. There was no doubt in his mind by that it wasn't just a random thing or a chance thing, but it was God's will. And you know, Paul was called in a very dramatic way, wasn't he? I mean, here's a guy, right, who was out there murdering people. And the Lord stops him one day in the middle of the road and appears to him and causes him to have blindness and confronts Paul with the reality of who he is fighting against. And Paul is humbled in that moment, and he recognizes in that moment his error, and he acknowledges the Lord. But you know, when the Lord called Paul, he didn't tell him what he was going to do at that point. He says, go see somebody else. Go see Ananias over in that town, and he'll tell you on my behalf. And so the Lord reveals to another brother what Paul's mission in life was. But you know, Paul was not called to be an apostle at this moment in time. In fact, when he goes to see Ananias, he hears a completely different message. And what is that message? Well, the message that he hears is from Ananias, Paul, you're going to be a witness for me to Jews, to Gentiles, to kings, to rulers. And you're also going to suffer greatly for my name's sake. This was Paul's calling from the Lord that he originally received through Ananias. On that particular day, he was not told to Paul that he would become an apostle, but rather as a witness to the Lord in many different places, to many different people, and to suffer for his name's sake. That was Paul's calling. Very dramatic. But you know what? As we think about Paul, and before I want to leave this thought, when we think about Paul, the reality is, right, is that when we think of his background, and we talked about this morning as well, here was a guy who was murdering the Lord's people, and they feared him greatly. And yet, the Lord in his mercy and grace took him out of that, arrested him on the road, and changed him into a man who would eventually write most of the New Testament, and to be an apostle, and to be a witness for the Lord all over the known world at that time. And that's the grace of God, and that's the grace of God for you and for me. Don't ever think that you're beyond service to the Lord. There are consequences to the choices we make. Sometimes we might limit our service because of our bad choices. Nonetheless, the Lord can take us and use us in his service. It's never too late for you, never too late for me. And that's a wonderful message this morning. And Paul recognized that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 12 through 14. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. He recognized the grace of God in his life. And that same grace is there for you and me. I wasted a great many years serving myself in the business world as a believer until the Lord, in his grace and mercy, took me out of that and changed the course of my life. And just been doing that for 2 or 3 years now. So it's never too late, beloved, and be encouraged by that fact, okay? Don't be discouraged this morning thinking that, you know, you haven't got it all going on. The Lord knows, and he's able to use all of us in marvelous ways. You know, that was really pointed out to me a couple of years ago. It was in February of 2012 when my unmistakable call came and I got let go from my job. I was downsized, as they say. And that combined with another family tragedy solidified the course for me. So I had some free time, and I traveled on down to North Carolina to the Good News on the Move team with Jabe Nicholson, and I participated in the Apex North Carolina Gospel Outreach. That's how I met the Canfields. That's how I ended up here in PEI 2 years ago. Without that, it would have never happened. So that's another story. Praise the Lord. But while I was down there, one of the reasons that I wanted to go is because I was needing some training in how to do, you know, one-on-one street work in evangelism, and I thought, well, why not go with these guys? I can learn a lot, right? So I get down there on the first day, and they say, okay, all the experience, we're going on the doors. Who wants to go on the doors? Well, I don't want to go on the doors, but I figured, Lord, I'm here to learn, so I'm going to go on the doors, okay? So experienced people here, inexperienced over here. I go over here, and then we're going to pair you up with somebody who's experienced, send you out two by two, and I'm thinking, oh, this is awesome. This is great. I'm going to be with a really strong brother, and I'm going to learn so much, and that's awesome. And as they were matching us up, and the list was getting smaller, my partner was a young lady in her early 20s who was very small and demure and timid as a church mouse. And at that moment, my heart was sunk. I'm not kidding you. I was like, Lord, what is going on here? I travel all the way down here. I want to learn, and I'm paired with this little girl? Like, seriously? So I get out there, and we're walking on the street to the first door, and I'm grumbling in my spirit, and I'm thinking, great, I'm the guy, so now I got to go up to the first door and talk, and I don't even know what I'm doing, and I'm just grumbling, and groaning up to the first door, and I did speak at the first door, but the Lord gave grace. In his mercy, he gave me something to say, and it didn't go too bad. On the second door, Abby was her name, runs in front of me. She was Michigan. And I learned very quickly that Abby was not going to let me take away her opportunities. And I learned I spent 2 days with Abby. Sorry. And I learned that God doesn't need big, strong men, but just little people who are submitted to him. And the Lord used Abby. That was no accident that he paired me with Abby, because she was actually quite experienced. And I saw how the Lord used her far more than me. And it doesn't matter who we are, how small we think we are, right? The Lord uses people in ways we can't possibly comprehend. And I learned that lesson through Abby, that the Lord can take what appears to us to be something that's just not all that much and do powerful things through a life that's surrendered. And that's just amazing to me. the Lord puts us into ministry. He did with Paul. He has grace for you and me, and, you know, it's never too late for us to get our heart right with the Lord and start serving him. And that's what he's saying to these slaves. You're slaves of God, but you are serving the Lord in that. Whatever situation we are called to, let us be faithful in it. And you know, Paul was just like that. He went out immediately and started testifying to the Lord. And he went all over this world. And he suffered greatly in the process. And he testified before kings and before commoners of the grace of God. And started many churches and many people came to Christ through him. And I would submit to you, because it doesn't tell us anywhere in the New Testament where Paul got his call to be an apostle. And I would submit to you this. You know, Moses had an unmistakable call to his calling. Paul perhaps progressed into it over the years as he was just serving the Lord faithfully every day in what he was called to do. And the Lord brought all of those things together, and over time he became an apostle of the Lord, became a writer of the New Testament, and a leader in the church. But Paul understood towards the end of his life that it was all the will of God, because Paul was just faithful, serving the Lord every day. And that's something for you and for me. Sometimes we wonder, what am I supposed to be doing, Lord? What you can do right now today is serve the Lord today in whatever circumstance you're in, faithfully, whatever that is. No matter how small you might think it is, just serve him faithfully today, and then again tomorrow, and then again the next day. And you know what? The Lord is going to use you, and he's going to bring those circumstances of life to bear. And hindsight is 20/20. You know, it's very easy for us. We look back, and we see things a lot clearer than when we look forward. We don't always know what's coming ahead of us. And I think the Lord has purposed it that way, that we might trust in him and depend upon him. Because we can't really handle what the future is sometimes, and it's better for us not to know. Sometimes, you know, the Lord reveals it to people, and they refuse it, right? I mean, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the day's out. So he told Peter what was going to happen in the future. And what is Peter's response? Never. He refuses it. So we just trust the Lord, serve him day by day. The Lord will bring about those circumstances in our life, and we'll find ourselves, excuse me, in the will of God. Okay, let's move on to Stephen. Excuse me. I want to look at a few minutes here in the life of Stephen. Let's go back to Acts chapter 7. This morning we were thinking about Stephen's message and the power and how the Lord used him. So let's think about this. Acts chapter 7 and verse 59. We're not going to read through Stephen's message. It's a little lengthy. Acts chapter 7, verse 59. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. The story of Stephen, from our vantage point, often seems like a great tragedy. Here was a younger man, we don't know exactly how old he was, who was stoned very early on in his Christian walk and died a horrible death. Paul, the one we just considered, was there that day consenting to it. He thought, good on him. It's a horrible way to die. It's a tragic story from our point of view. And Stephen's life is one that I think is worth considering this morning as we think about service to God, because we might look at Stephen and say, what a waste. I mean, after all, he only delivered one message that we have recorded in the scriptures, and he died very early on and very quickly in the life of the church, and, you know, from our perspective, didn't seem to maybe make a great impact on things. You know, was it a wasted life? Was what he did service to God? Yes, of course it was. And the reason I want to share a few thoughts from Stephen's life, again, is to compare and contrast the differences as we think about different people. Paul went on to live many years after his call. Moses went on to serve the Lord for another 40 years. Stephen had a very short time to serve the Lord. But I am convinced, myself, that our time, well, the scripture says, our times are in his hands. Our times are in his hands. I don't believe in random chance accidents in the life of a child of God. The Lord is shepherding us, and things happen for reasons. Sometimes we don't understand, and we look at Stephen's life and we say, man, that's sad. But nonetheless, Stephen was faithful to the Lord, a man filled with the Spirit of God, a man whom before he died, the Lord opened the heavens and allowed him to see the glory of the Savior in the right hand of the majesty on high. And Stephen testified faithfully that day, even though they did not receive his message. We don't know what the fruit was. And oftentimes we don't. The Lord withholds that from us. I shared a story earlier about the guy in the wall that heard the message. And the guy who shared that message, the Lord allowed him to see that fruit. Sometimes from our perspective, it won't look so good. Let's back up to Moses for a second. What happens? You know, when Moses finally gets through all of his, you know, refusals, and, thank you, Aaron. That's very kind of you. Thanks. When Moses gets through with all of his problems and finally goes down to Egypt, what happens? He goes into Pharaoh. Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh goes, not happening. And not only that, because you people are obviously lazy and idle and have lots of time, I'm taking all your straw away. But you'll still make the same amount of bricks for me. Now get out. And it was so bad that even the children of Israel, who when Moses first came, they said, oh, bless the Lord. They got down, they worshiped, they praised the Lord that the deliverance was finally come. A few days later, when they had to make the bricks without the straw, they basically said, great, Moses, thanks a lot. You've come down here. You've made us abhorrent in the eyes of the Egyptians. Thanks a lot. So when Moses started out for the Lord here, it looked pretty bad. In fact, it was failing miserably. Even Moses goes back to the Lord and says, Lord, you called me down here. I mean, it's not working out. Sometimes when we're serving the Lord, as when Stephen did here, it might appear from a first glance that things are going very badly, that things aren't working out the way we had hoped. And the will of God oftentimes includes very difficult things, friends. They're not easy. Do you think it was easy for Moses to give up a life of a shepherd, having a nice, quiet, peaceful life with his wife and kids, to go down to those million people and lead them out? No, it was not. It was a very stressful thing for him. And all through the rest of his 40 years, his life was a lot of stress in dealing with this people. And so Moses, at first, it appears hopeless, and Stephen might somehow appear that to us. And sometimes as we are trying to serve the Lord and what he's called us to do, the results might not seem all that good, at least to our eye. But the Lord knows. And the Lord is at work, and our bet is to just be faithful in what he's called us to do. And we leave the results with him, because you see, you and I cannot change one hair, black or white. Although some of mine are getting a little whiter these days, it's not in my control. And we can't cause an anxious thought, and we don't convert people. All we can do is serve the Lord as he's called us to do faithfully, and the Lord does that work. And so we don't know what the fruit was from Stephen's ministry, but no doubt there was fruit from that, and there was fruit from Moses' ministry. The Lord had a purpose in Pharaoh's resistance, and he was going to demonstrate his glory to the world through this resistance. The Lord is at work, friends. And don't be discouraged when you start out on that course and you're trying to serve the Lord and you're sharing and you're serving and you're helping and people sometimes resist and push back and nothing seems to be happening. Keep on and trust the results to the Lord. That's his business and not ours. And so Stephen's life was not a waste. He testified for the Lord. We don't know what the fruit was. He died very early. It was service to the Lord. And Paul says this in Philippians 1 and verse 20. He says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. He goes on to say, for to me to live is Christ, and to die, gain. Because it's not about whether we live or die, it's about being faithful in what the Lord has called us to do. And some he will call to a martyr's death, as he did Stephen. And some he will allow to serve for many, many years, as Paul and Moses. And that's different. Our times are in his hand. We commit that to him. Paul says, it doesn't matter whether I'm living or dead. All that matters is I'm faithful in serving the Lord in whatever he's called me to do. And that ought to be our focus in this life as well. That's what matters. You know, Paul also spent a lot of his time in prison towards the end of his life. And we could have a debate. Did he do the right thing taking that vow and going up to Jerusalem? Nonetheless, the Lord said to Paul, you're going to testify to Caesar in Rome. And the Lord used that imprisonment and had Paul up there in Rome in that prison situation, writing many letters to the churches and witnessing to him, even in a prison. You see, it doesn't matter whether free, whether slave, whether in full-time public ministry or whether in secular employment, whether a student at school or whether shut in at home, the Lord calls us to different things and he can use us all. It's service to the Lord if we are surrendered to him, if we are seeking to serve him in it. And that's the important thing I want you to take away from this afternoon as we think about what it means to serve the Lord and do his will. Father, we just thank you for our time together today. Lord, we bless you, Father, for your goodness, for your grace. And Lord, as we think of your power, Lord, we just are amazed at how you can use vessels like us in service to God. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the privilege, for the honor. And Lord, I just pray you would impress upon our hearts, Lord, how important this is. And Father, that you would just help us, Lord, each of us to be faithful to you. Lord, we just thank you. We bless your name, and we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.